All right, hey everybody, I want to say thank you very much for joining us for another episode. I do have an interesting gentleman here. His name is Dave Thompson. I actually met Dave a few years ago at a Bible study, and the subject of the age of the earth came up, and someone said something about millions upon billions of years old, and his face turned red. And so he jumped in, and he made it clear that he is a young earther. He believes that the earth is not millions upon millions of years old. And this podcast is going to be dedicated to his viewpoint on what a young earth is. So I just wanted to welcome my friend. He could be your friend as well, too. Hey, Dave Thompson, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Chris.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, my inaugural podcast. I absolutely appreciate it.
That makes it exciting as well as everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we're here to talk about an exciting subject here. Yep. A subject that's not really talked about maybe that much, especially not in the classrooms. Yeah. But it talks about the age of the earth. You know, it's very popular to hear that it's billions upon billions of years old. I know I've heard it many times. I grew up watching National Geographic, Discovery Channel, all of that. And, you know, I've heard the references to millions upon millions of years of age, and I never really thought about it too much. So my first question to you, Dave, what's the age of the earth? How old is the earth?
Well, I'm going to cite a couple of resources. One of them is Siri. So if you want to check any of this stuff out, just ask her how old the Earth is.
Okay.
But Siri answered it with 4.5 billion years.
Wow.
Now, you know, I didn't check her references or her resources. So we're just going to say Siri is very artificial intelligence. But anyway, that's a joke at Siri's expense, so I don't think she cares.
Yeah.
She has a nice voice, though.
She does. she tells good jokes, too.
Yeah. Now, this is another one that I got sent to Wikipedia when I asked what the Bible says the age of the earth is, and it says between 6,000 and 10,000 years, and those are pretty standard numbers that I have heard pretty consistently since I started finding resources to be able to find more information on this subject matter. I am a student of Scripture, and in my interest in the age of the earth and stuff of this nature, it started dawning on me that the Old Testament, especially Genesis, had some very specific years listed. And what I come to find out was that if I take those years and splice them together, and this is just part of my actual handwritten notes taken directly from Scripture, I came up with...
Actually, if I could just interject real quick there, just in case someone's listening to the audio version of this, it looks like you have some notes here regarding scriptures from Genesis, and it looks like you know, you have some lineage, basically family trees here, just extending off from many, many generations. So it looks like in Genesis they have maybe about, I don't know, 15, 20 plus generations. I'm just estimating real quickly. That's, and I know that in Matthew chapter 1, it goes into a deep family tree of leading up to Jesus Christ through through Joseph. And I think it spans 42 generations.
Well, they may have some of the information. See, a lot of this, I'm finding that, yes, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And that's one of the interesting things about Scripture. I find it a just an awesome document or set of documents.
Yeah.
This is an amazing book. It truly is.
Yeah.
That you got to figure that from the very beginning of man's recorded time in Genesis with the creation, and then these generations up to the flood, because that was God's doing away with some pretty serious foul stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
But then we come all the way up into past Jesus being alive to where, did you say it was Mark or Matthew?
I said Matthew. Chapter 1. Yeah.
Okay. Matthew as this document dictated. I believe it was divinely inspired. So we would have to say he's not the writer. He's the scribe or the secretary that wrote it down, kind of thing.
Sure, sure, yeah.
But we have this huge amount of time difference with similar lists. I won't say exact because I haven't checked them, but okay. I would have a tendency to say they're probably exact.
Yeah.
Because they would have been learning this genealogy that we're making reference to that I got these years from. And this is where a lot of people kind of glaze over because this is in the sections where you get the they begot, they begot, they yeah, begot, yeah. they begot. Well,
it's a long read.
Yeah, it's a long read. But what's kind of in there that I wasn't paying attention to the first couple of times that I looked at this material was that the years were actually there too within those statements of begot, begot, begot. So that's all I did was add these up,
yeah.
and they went right up until Noah was born, mm-hmm. and he was called by God to make an ark because he was going to send a flood because of all this nasty stuff.
Yeah, now before we get into the floods, if we were to, it seems like tracing back the genealogy is one of the big components for determining the age of the earth according to the Bible.
Yes.
Are there any other variables that are considered?
Personally, when I was calculating these years, I got into a range, and I'm not saying the information isn't there. I was saying I was starting to glaze over pretty good when I was digging into it, but I did find that they referred to generations between Abraham and then another occasion. I think the next one was when they went into the promised land.
Okay.
So there are three different sections that refer to 14 generations. That's one of the awesome things about scripture, just that there are three references and they're all exactly 14 generations.
Yeah.
So I make a very liberal estimation on what I would call a generation. If I'm looking at a generation now, I think anybody would agree that a generation would be anywhere from 18 years old to maybe 32.
Right.
If we take that kind of average, we'd have to say there was a new generation coming on in there somewhere.
Right.
Well, rather than pushing this all together and getting it as small as possible, I did my assumption for these 14 generations at 50 years, figuring that was going to be the outside edge that a male would be to starting a family consistently to use it for this generation calculation. So it's 14 times 50 plus 14 times 50, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes up with a number of years that I can plug into the exactness that I found, that I found in the years between creation and the flood.
Right.
Very, very, very specific to the year. And that is, I'm going to refer to my notes, 1,656 years.
Okay.
That's just this little series of addition right there.
Right.
And
you want to just state what scripture you're talking about right there? It looks like Genesis chapter 5.
Yeah, Genesis 5, 3 through 30.
Okay, got
it. Has this list of stuff. And it's really weird because when you become conscious of it, you kind of go, oh, there's something else.
Right.
But it links in with other things. So you got to kind of go back and see where did I stop with this and so that I can continue with it.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a process.
Sure.
Now, one of the things I've also found, the new technology is absolutely amazing.
Okay.
You can, and cuz I did this several years ago, I Googled how many years were there between creation and Abraham's birth.
Okay.
And it gave it to me.
Did you agree with the answer?
Yeah.
What was the answer? That's the 1656.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
But if I ask Google for the years between the creation week and the flood, it will say 1,656 years.
That's awesome.
And there are several different references you can go to. You know, it's not Google doesn't use one reference. There's a bunch of references there, but they're all consistent.
Yeah.
Some of these answers are secular,
yeah,
but they're only regurgitating what Bible history is, so that when somebody says they're taking a Bible history class, Lord only knows what that's talking about.
So right now, it seems like in summary, though, a lot of the calculations going in the age of the earth is basically closely related to the genealogy that stated in the scripture.
Yes. Yeah.
And
well, I haven't answered your question yet, have I?
Well, you kind of answered that question now. I believe I have a ton more questions, actually. This is an interesting subject for me because, you know, from my standpoint, you know, the main event is Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead, you know? And I will admit, you know, for the rest of this podcast, one area that I still sort of struggle with is, you know, why is this so important that we get the age of the earth correctly? I could kind of understand where you're coming from, but I'd like for you to share that with not only myself, but with the audience a little bit later on towards the end of the podcast. But
can I just answer your question?
My
calculation came up to is how old is the earth?
Oh, okay. I thought you sort of in, you know, no, I was using
Wikipedia to come up with that.
Okay.
Range.
All right. Yes. Please share your math.
My math. The only clarification I need to make was that variation on the generations of determining what I used for the age of a generation.
Okay.
But I came up with 7,257 years.
Excuse me? 7,257? That's a very precise number.
Yeah, it is. But see,
is that your lucky number?
No.
Okay, just checking.
It's all of our lucky numbers. But that's from the creation week. Or creation year, because we're rounding off to years in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
But that would be, if the assumption of 50 years old for a generation is correct, and there will be flexible. Mm-hmm. So if anything, it would be less than that.
Wow. This might be a little bit off topic, but just like how a day back then is the same as a day today, would a year back then be the same as a year today?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, because the times were determined by the stars. That's why God created the sun and the moon and the stars, was for man to be able to keep track of time and know when to plant their crops and all of this kind of stuff. It's
And the orbit around the sun is about the same for the earth as it was back then as it is today?
As far as I would say that we could tell, it'd be, you know, just a matter of
Maybe a few seconds or hours. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Even at that, from creation week. But the time itself, or is that what you're referring to?
Yeah,
is how the calculation goes?
Yeah, I just
goes?
Wanted to make sure a year back then is the same as like a year today.
Yes.
You know?
But
so
the biggest,
I mean, if it's very close, then
I'm
good with that.
It'd
I just wanted to make sure it
wasn't
you know, an anomaly and maybe
No
calculation, or at least it was considered.
As far as I have been able to find, and I'm qualified as a student. I'm not qualified as a professional. There's no way I would claim that this stuff is anything but a collection of information I have gotten from very solid sources in the past. But for somebody to ask, you know, where are your references, I would just set the list of references from articles.
Yeah.
So I would probably have references for some of this information that would be in the thousands of people.
Absolutely. And then just to interject real quick, you know, one of the motivation of this show has to deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. And it just basically talks about how we should not use craftiness when presenting the gospel. And this is definitely very much the Bible here. So for those who are listening here, you know, we don't really pride ourselves on expertise. We pride ourselves more on, you know, thorough discussions on a variety of biblically related topics. So
yeah, that's great.
Just to kind of give you just a heads up on, you know, what this podcast is all about.
Good.
So now we've talked about the age of the earth. We've gotten to 7,257 years, which is mind-blowing number. I've never heard of that number. I would have never guessed that number, but
well, I wouldn't either.
Now the thing is, this is a long journey for you. Like, how did this all start for you? Like, when did you start to question modern science, the millions and billions of years? When did you start to embrace a young earth viewpoint?
I think because of Bible study and I'm talking about Sunday school class to start with. Okay, when I'm talking about Bible study, even then is what the Sunday school teacher told us.
Yeah.
And what the pastor might have preached on from time to time. Pastors don't like to touch on this stuff much either because they don't have the information, and they definitely didn't have it then.
I mean, so is it considered a crowd pleaser as well, though?
The subject matter?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh no.
I mean, is it, you know, is it going to draw? Is it going to fill those benches?
Well, the biggest thing that I have heard about creation is that people will very many times say, "Well, that just doesn't matter to me." Belief in a Savior Christ is, and his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of my sins is all that's necessary. I'm not saying that there's not, but there's a link between the creation week and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus does make reference to the beginning.
Yeah, he does.
As well, too. You know, I mean, you know, Jesus is in the Old Testament as well as the Holy Spirit is referenced in the Old Testament a few times. So, you know, I do get that. I wouldn't say it's actually a strong reference of Jesus
in the
Old Testament, such as the drama that was going on with the Israelites and, you know, the Father.
No, I would say so. You have to be conscious of all of our studies of the Scripture. If we take little snippets from here and there and here and there and try to come to some of these conclusions that I've been able to tie together to each other, it doesn't work. You can't do that because even within the Gospels themselves, if you don't take them as four unified Gospels, then there's a lot of people that know Scripture that will defeat Christianity in a debate. Not because they're stating a truth, it's because the person they're talking to isn't as familiar as they are.
Now let's hop back to Genesis now. Mm-hmm. When did you start taking the book of Genesis literally? The Genesis became literal to you?
Pretty much right off the bat of my studying Genesis. I didn't start right out being a big reader. I was a very poor reader.
Mm-hmm.
But what stimulated me to do these the interest of actually reading Scripture was I was very regretful that I did not study properly for my my designation as declaring Jesus Christ as my Savior at age 13. It was in a Protestant church, but they were using the timing like the Jewish nation does for their young people to accept Jesus Christ as an adult. Kind of thing.
Now, as far as like your salvation story, I wanted to actually save that towards the end
of
the testimony. Right. So, right now, I'm just trying to think of like, you know, that moment when you looked at the Scriptures and thought to yourself, this is in conflict with what I may have learned in classrooms, or when did that sort of contrast become apparent to you?
I'm old enough that I can say it was the other way around.
Okay.
It was that I had no reason to disbelieve creation because that's what I'd been taught.
Yeah.
And then when I was about 13 years old in a junior high school science class was the first time I ever heard the theory of evolution. Well, a lot of our young people, unfortunately, have never heard the theory of evolution. They hear it just referred to as evolution, like it's a fact. Well, guess what? It's still unproven.
Yeah.
So it's
that's why it's called a theory. Yeah.
Yes. And honestly, if we use scientific jargon, you can't call it the science of evolution because it is not science. It's not testable or repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, creation isn't either. But creation, the way it's described in Scripture, has a source book that has laid stuff out in an orderly manner.
Yeah.
And we don't see that the dinosaurs were taking notes.
Right.
We have never found a scroll of the dinosaur lineage that comes up with anything buried. Yet there are lots of scriptural references in many different languages that have to do with the Judeo-Christian God and Jesus the Christ. So these things have a lot more material available to say, well, you know, there might be enough that we can put this together and agree that there is more substantiation for Scripture than other things we see in our world.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're embarking on intelligent design. But
well, it does have to do with it, but that comes back to 13 years old. See?
Yeah, so
the decision was, do I believe what I just heard about evolution.
Yeah.
Instead of what I have heard. And there are other things that go with the testimony that I won't mention now because you want to do that later, that ties this all together. There's a lot of stuff goes into this, but I thought for many, many, many years, I was the only person that thought this way. I was the only one to speak up at that science class, and there were 30 kids in there.
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking for any attaboy or, oh my gosh, isn't that a wonderful question that he just asked the teacher?
Right.
That had nothing to do with it. I was genuinely curious about if you are going to teach us the theory of evolution, then according to the definitions you taught us last week, that must mean there may be other theories of how we got here.
Yeah.
And I was told at that time, first day that I was taught about evolution, was that's absolutely correct. There are other theories about where we came from, but I'm not going to teach them to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a terrible disservice.